Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think I've explained my point well. Let me check the comments. I have not done a good job explaining myself.
If you could only watch 3 wrestling matches, what would they be and why? This is what I'm asking some of wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another edition of Desert Island Graps.
Matthew from Botchamania.
Yes, that's right.
There he is.
The current lodger on Cultaholic Island.
You are currently the lodger, mate. Do a nice little handshake. Nice to have you here. It's weird because we're sat now doing a very different type of podcast to the ones that we normally do. And to a lot of the other projects that we normally do, this is very different. More on that as we get to it. But how do we find you today?
Weird right now because we've just, to take it behind the scenes here, have just done our SmackDown. Classic SmackDown review.
One day you'll get the name of it right.
And afterwards I'll be doing the podcast with Jack and Ross.
Yeah.
And I play two different roles in that because I'm basically in control. And then Tom, we did this. And then with them lot, it's like, then this. This one is like being on the couch next to the therapist almost. Because I saw the one you did with Ross. I'm like, oh, yeah. What Ross has got to say about Mike Awesome. And it was just like, oh, Ross goes in a lot of detail here.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm playing poker with you right now, I think. I'm like, no, you can show me your cards first.
Just in case I try and do something a little bit. No, it's nothing like that at all. So it's the fundamental reason that we are all here is we are wrestling fans. When did you become a wrestling fan?
I don't remember the exact time, but it was when my mum, because we were very rich growing up, we'd go to car boot sales.
Okay.
Get stuff, then we'd enjoy whatever was on display at somebody's table outside the back of their transit van, and she just picked up stuff for me for probably the cost of 20 whole pence, the WF the annuals 93 and 94.
You remember them that specifically?
Oh, absolutely. Because it was just beautifully detailed photograph explanations of who these people were. I had no concept of what wrestling was or how you win a match or anything like that. All I knew was Repo Man. He'll take your stuff. If you're not looking, he'll take you in all this. With a big shot of like the repo rope. I don't think I remember it used very much with some poor jobber and all this. Yokozuna, he's 10,000 tons. Like, well, he looks it. I'm like 6 or 7. So, yeah, sure, whatever.
So your first
Undertaker,
insight.
He's deed.
Your first insight into wrestling then was just through 2 very innocuous albums.
Oh, yeah.
Did your mum ever explain why she picked them up for you?
You're a lad. You probably like wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Just that simple as,
it was
hey.
Never said, but it was heard.
Yeah, it was just like, hey, you might get into this. This might be a sort of thing. And lo and behold, it became not just a hobby, but for you, it's become a living.
Yeah.
It really has. Like, and a living that transcends here at Cultaholic. I think a lot of people who are watching today will probably not know you initially for Cultaholic. They'll know you for Botchamania.
I knew you before
Botchamania. I knew you as Botchamania. No, apologise, by the way. I knew you as, you know, the man behind these incredible videos and such. And do you find a lot of people who watch you through this channel watch you because of Cultaholic or because of Botchamania?
I don't know about Cultaholic people that go, wow, Matthew was tolerable this episode. I think I'll go watch that Botchamania thing Jack and Ross make reference to. I don't know, actually. I'd be interested to hear if people did, if they want to leave a comment or anything. That'd be nice, because I genuinely don't know. But more people recognise me because of being in Cultaholic than Botchamania, because, for good reason, I didn't appear on camera in Botchamania.
Yeah.
two reasons. I didn't want to be like a, hey guys, you know, let's see what this idiot did in America. Something like that, like Bad Alan Partridge. And also because I look like this, you know.
What do you mean you look like this? You look lovely.
I've said I'm the... You know how the portrait of Dorian Gray is a beautiful man with a disgusting painting somewhere? Somewhere, Tom, there is a beautiful painting of me in somebody's attic. And I'll see it just before I'm killed or whatever happens at the end of Dorian Gray. It's been a while. So, no, I never thought I was aesthetically pleasing enough to be on camera. However, so many people do YouTube now. I've gone, well, I've not gotten better, but the measuring stick has certainly gone lower. So.
Wow.
So I feel better about myself without doing anything.
But it came to you being a cultaholic, and we'll talk a bit more about as we go on. What I love about being able to sit here with you is, and it was nice to speak to Ross about this, is that I've come into cultaholic and I feel a bit like sort of the fifth Beatle. In the sense that, like, you've got your Adam, your Jack, your Ross, and your Sam, and those are the original four. They're the Fab Four. But then you were one of the first people to be away from that Fab Four that broke in as well. And so I feel like I've got a weird kinship with you because of that. Because I feel like we're sort of on the outside, on the coming in, like we're climbing through the window type thing. And we want to talk all about that as we go along. Fundamentally today, Matthew, I don't know how many episodes you've seen of Desert Island Grabs and how this actually works. I don't know whether you're familiar with it.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yes. I am going to send you to a desert island, okay? Oh. A metaphorical desert island that happens to have electricity. I know. And whilst you're there, I'm going to burn for you a DVD in which you can watch three of your favourite wrestling matches of all time. So as the show goes along, we're going to add matches to your DVD. So let's get it started. What's the first match on your DVD?
I know what the other two are going to be, but... Even now, I'm doubting myself, but I knew if you gave me a week, the list of nominations would be at least 300 pages long because, God, I watch a lot of wrestling, and there's a lot of great wrestling to watch. But for the sake of this video, I am picking Dolph Ziggler versus Alberto Del Rio from Payback 2013.
Wow.
And I know a lot of people are going, really? But I big it up because that represents a time in my life when I was watching these pay-per-views live with friends. But didn't have much of a care in the world. Monday morning, it's only 2 hours' time. We'll worry about that later on. Stay up and watch it. And, you know, hit or miss, it was a time for some people that we wouldn't meet up with, apart from that one time a month, or twice a month, or three times, whatever. Get sick of them by that point. And it just shows how great storytelling can be in the ring when people give a toss on the right time. And it doesn't always come together. Some intend, you know, they can aim for something and, okay, fire, and oh, whoops, hit somewhere there. So like it's completely off. Everything was on this. Completely at laser sight and accuracy. Del Rio had been the good guy champ, but he hadn't really done much. They just decided one day, hey, it's me, Del Rio. Boo. No, I'm a good guy now. All right, yay. And he had that almost archetypal, hey, it's a to be good guy. I know he's a good guy. He's smiling. He's patting people's hands. How you doing? Hello. Kissing babies, whatever, you know. And then Dolph Ziggler had been, like, the indie cool dude, or even though he wasn't an indie dude, he was getting cheered because of how hard he'd work in the ring for what he was doing. He'd take the big bumps. He basically came out and bragged about how good he was. But because he was so good in the ring, people go, yeah, you know what? You sound like a cocky dick. I'm with you, mate. That's great. That's beautiful. And these two converged. Ziggler was the champion, and he cashed in Money in the Bank after the day after WrestleMania, which I'm sure a lot of people remember, apart from this match. So Ziggler was still being a dick at that point because he cashed in Money in the Bank after Del Rio had a match after WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. So it sets up Payback. It was like, Del Rio's like, can I have a proper rematch, thanks? Ziggler's like, yeah, okay. And it's just this amazing double turn because right from the start, it's 50-50. The crowd's like, who are we cheering? Ziggler's still a dick. Del Rio's flatter than Tango that's been left out for 3 days, you know, with no lid. And Del Rio just kicks the hell out of him. He Del Rio was very good at one thing, WWE. That was just beating the hell out of someone. Seeing those matches he had with Sin Cara, he was just dropping on his head. And he just keeps on kicking him and beating him and making, because Ziggler had just had a concussion and that's why he was off the last pay-per-view. So he's like, back of the head, back of the head, back of the head. And it's that slow realization of the crowd. He's being a dick. He's being a CTE-giving dick. And Del Rio's just going, what? he's got him. I think he's got him for a suplex or a brainbuster or something. And he's just there, like the crowd just boo, getting loud, and he's just there, like, "What? I'm not doing anything different. You decided to cheer for me. I'm just being me." Just beats the hell out of Ziggler, who sells it like, I've seen The Godfather where he stops at the thing and they shoot him to death. And yeah, the crowd's at the end. He's beat Ziggler, wins the title again. Just there, grinning ear to ear, go, sorry. I love it. Because it's like, because it's the realization that the crowd has as the match goes on. Oh, right, we get it. Oh, it's perfect. I love it when that comes together.
You were watching with a group of people at home. What was the reaction amongst your friends?
Like the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, he's being a dick. Sorry.
It's a moment when you can see a turn happening in front of your very eyes.
Yeah. You go, ah, oh, they're really stupid. I'm so smart. I know better than... Oh, I wasn't... I don't think many people were anticipating it. They try and be... And I'm often one of them up trying to say we, like it's not me, too clever for the product, because a lot of people want to go...
Well, the job that we do suggests that, you know, there is a we mentality to it, whether we try and avoid it, but there certainly is a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Has there been another moment in wrestling where it is, for all the we-based knowledge that we have, has caught you off guard?
Undertaker versus Lesnar.
Okay, WrestleMania 30. Yeah?
Because I remember, it's the rule of three. They used to have, I think, Roman Reigns came along and picked up the rule of 16. But I think he hit him. I forget how the match actually ends. It's been so long, but I've seen it loads of times. Because everything that comes after overshadows it. But he hits him three times with the F5, I believe, or some move. Probably the F5. And my mates are like, yeah, whatever, this match isn't very good. And they're like looking, they're on the phone, yeah. And I'm like, you know, if this is a film, I'd be the one guy like going, a T-Rex! You know, and everyone else is going, where? And it was like... One, I'm like, mate. And he's like, what? Two, doesn't matter. Three. And just that reaction, like, oh, right. Lesnar with no build, just barely any build to beat The Undertaker WrestleMania. And that was a moment.
It just sucked the air out of whatever room you were in. I remember when I watched it with my flatmate at the time, and in a similar mindset to the guys that you were with, where... You were just like, oh, okay, this is a really bad Undertaker match. This is a shame. This is a shame. And then, oh, what? No, that's to the point where for days after there was conspiracy theory that did Undertaker meet? Was he meant to lose that? Was that part of the plan? Did Lesnar knock him out? Like, fascinating.
Do you remember Kayfabe News published it? It says the reason why Undertaker lost to Lesnar at WrestleMania. Clicked on it because that's what was booked.
Yeah, I do remember that, actually. That was cool. Going back to Payback, so you watched it with a group of friends. How did you meet your wrestling friends? Because a lot of the times when we talk to people...
That's a good question.
You'll always... Maybe they may have one or two. A lot of people in Desert Island Graps have had one, maybe two. But the way you talk then suggested that you had like a bit of a collection.
Yeah.
A collective.
It's one of those weird things where you go out with one friend, and then because I moved from Bish to Newcastle, and didn't know that many people, so I'd go out on a Saturday not knowing anybody, and just go to the Legends, which is no longer with us, and just like, look, I've been a crap job all week. I'm going out. I don't care if I get in a fight. I want to go out. I got to do something. My brain's falling out of my ears here, and I end up bumping into somebody who I'd known from Bish, and he was off his head. And he was bleeding, which is not...
Oh, wow.
And he had his coat on. He was in the middle of the dance floor. So everyone was like, pan like the Red Sea. And he saw me and I went, hey, how you doing? And he said my name over and over again, Matthew Gregg. And he couldn't stop saying it because he'd taken some wonderful pill. And all his mates around him then knew my name forever, to the point where some of those people still call me my full name. I think it's like Matthew hyphen Gregg. And end up hanging with them and seeing them every Saturday. And it's like, oh, do you want me to do this? And then, oh, you like wrestling, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my friend likes wrestling. How you do, blah, blah, blah. Talk to him, blah, blah. And it really is just like networking without LinkedIn.
Yeah,
you
know, just
go
really
out there,
is.
Go there and find somebody. And I think I like to find, if I was on this desert island, I would find, I don't know, a monkey. I'm just going to find a coconut with a face on it. A tree. I'm running out of examples here. Sorry. I would find someone to watch wrestling with.
Are you good at making friends?
So far, so good. I'm really good at making enemies as well.
You seem like you are. You're one that's easy to make friends with.
I try.
It seems that way. Yeah,
and it's easy to forget that I like people when you do jobs that involve the public. That's why people. I've seen comments and stuff. It's the misconception that I'm arrogant or whatever. It's like it's not that I dismiss a lot of people's opinions. It's me making stuff easy to understand for myself. If you work at a call center, you cannot treat every person who rings you up like it's a serious thing. You treat your colleagues like it's important, but you can't treat those like video games. There's the main players, and then there's the NPCs. So I think that's where people get. Think I'm this? How dare Matthew ignore people's opinions? I'm like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I just don't mean let them get to me.
In what way do you feel like they talk about you like that? In the sense that they think that you ignore people's opinions.
This is when I first started Cultaholic. To go back to what you're saying, like I said, no one knew really who I was, and it was really awkward to begin with because the Cultaholic crew, I'm older than them, so it's really nice when you see people like Cultaholic or Effin. Tyler Bate, when he was like barely 20, going, I used to watch your videos when I was at school. I'm like, what? Like, I was really happy not knowing that, Tyler, but I wish you all the best of luck. You know, they look at me like, oh, it's Matthew. Ooh. He's like the even more nerdy wrestling version of, I don't know, the Spoonie or whatever. I can't think of any of those old YouTubers. And, you know, it's like that. So they thought the world would be. He's like, Matthew, do your thing. And I'm like, hello, I suck at this, you know, and so I would read the YouTube comments because I felt that I had to. I'm coming to their world, their island.
Yeah.
And I had to check those comments. And God, I think that's why me and you will stick together here because it's like, they were so flattering, but they were right. They were exactly right. But one of the ones that got, I mean, a lot of stuff was Matthew talking over people, Matthew, those other things that I was trying too hard on. I was trying really hard to begin with. But some of the was Matthew looks so and talks arrogant. You can tell he's arrogant.
Wow.
He has posters on the wall of just him. I'm like, oh, if that's the impression I'm given, then I'm really doing a bad job here.
When really it's not the case at all. It's just more the case of I
suck at this.
I suck.
I'm not arrogant. I just suck.
It's more the case of just you know your own mind.
Right, I know what I mean, and I think I've made more mistakes accidentally than I have deliberately when I'm trying to offend people. Like, people, I think I've explained my point well. Let me check the comments. I have not done a good job explaining myself. So maybe this podcast, I'll be like, no, could you do a side podcast for this podcast? And then that podcast will have an index and then whatever.
It's when you come into something like this, it is quite like that. But I want to come back to this in a bit. Why did you move to Newcastle from Bishop Auckland?
Because there was sod all happening in Bish.
Fair enough. How old were you when you moved?
It would have been 10 years ago. So 22? I don't know. Maybe 21. Yeah, 21, actually.
You're a footloose and fancy free guy at that point?
Oh, yeah. With about 10 pence in my pocket, yeah.
I was just curious as to why, you know, why you came to Newcastle. If you were like, if the world was your oyster... I'm just intrigued as to why you chose Newcastle. No, it's not a trick question. I'm just intrigued.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Why did I come to Newcastle? Because I thought I'd get work there. My friend, a very good friend, Alex, was living in Newcastle. And he was like, hey, good to see you again after all these years. Got reacquainted next to Facebook. You know, he'd gone off for a trip in Asia and just found himself, did one of the spiritual journeys. And I'd gone to Bish and found charity shops. You know? He's like, hey, want to come to Newcastle? I was like, oh, wow. He was like, you know, Dick Whittington almost going like, wow, the big city, running water, woo. And then he's like, oh, we've got a spare room. Do you fancy staying here? And like, yeah. And within 3 days of moving in, I had a job. It's like, oh, great. There was nothing in Bish.
What was your first job when you moved up here?
What's it called? It was called, it's a weird name, Explain Market Research.
Explain Market Research, okay.
So often you have like a command, the name of the thing. And it was, I got it and they showed me what to do. It's like, oh, can you start today? I'm like, I'm so good. They're employing me today. Wow, still got it. Yeah, and I realized like in years' time, they'll have monkeys doing this job. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. And the point where I realized I could do the job without thinking. So I'd be talking to people and just memorizing the script, and I'd be writing down what to do.
when I got home at the same time talking to people. And they were some of the worst videos I ever made.
Oh, really?
Because I'm like, think of something funny. Nothing. There is nothing happening right now. And I think I apologize in the endings of the videos. It's like, look, there's nothing going on in my head right now. There's nothing. I'm sorry. And it realized what effect it has on your brain. But then from there, I moved on to HMV. Did a lovely Christmas shift there.
How did you find working at HMV? Because I spent a spell working for HMV as well.
Oh,
and it's
right.
A really fun environment. The one I worked at in the Worcester branches was a really fun environment to work in. And it genuinely inspired like more love for music. Did it do the same to you?
We were in the video game bit, so that was nice.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Then. I liked it because it was Christmas time, period there, so busy as hell. Makes the day go faster, though, that's my opinion. And they were trying to big up the fact that customer service because, you know, things like Amazon were taken over. It's like HMV need to have that HMV difference. So whenever a sweet little old lady would come up and go, "Hello, I'm buying a game for my grandson. I don't know what the name of it is, but I know there's a picture of the car on the front."
Oh, I'm getting hives.
Right.
I'm getting hives remembering my Christmases.
Yeah. And we're like, it's this. I've remembered it. I've written it down. All right, what is it? It is FIFA 2012. And she's like so happy, like, yes, I wrote it down. I'm so cool. Cool. Which console is it for? Bastard. I'm like, is it black? Is it, what's that, guess who? Like, what noise does it make that loads up? Is it, or is it like, do-do-do-do? whatever the wind makes. So that was nice. And I thought it was going really well. And they said, look, if we do well this Christmas, we'll keep you on. I remember being in the corner shop when they had the radio over, and it was just like, HMV records record losses this Christmas.
Oh, man.
Due to the snow and people staying in and using the internet. I'm like, yeah. Oh, well.
So I take it there was no job at the end of it?
No, it was a good 3 months.
Yeah. It's, I used to say this a while ago, and I want to see whether you agree with it. I believe that everybody should do a Christmas working in retail.
Right.
It should be a bit like national service.
I fully agree. Maybe not necessarily that, but a crap job. 2 weeks. Never mind these nice, what's it called? When you do work experience.
Workplace.
It's called work experience.
Workplace or work experience.
Yeah, instead of that, and I had a nice one. I worked at the library. I enjoyed that. But it's a nice thing. They, you know, they made me tea.
Yeah.
I gave the chocolates. Very nice. No, a crap job for like a month. And go, cool. Do you want to go back to Scott? Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, I want to, like I said, you know how we talk about how you're worried about how you come across in interviews and stuff. I just want to make sure that we emphasize that working at HMV wasn't a crap job. It was more a job that was going to test you. Yeah, it was going to, that environment was going to test you.
You know what? It was a hard working job because Christmas rush, oof, very busy. But the important thing was there was good staff to work with.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like crap jobs, 10 a penny. But if you got that right colleague to work with on that day, that can make a 12-hour shift go by like 3 hours, that is all right.
Whilst you were working jobs like at HMV and some crap jobs as well, and whilst you were gathering people to watch wrestling, you were working on Botchamania, which has been a part of your life for a big part of your life. We want to get into that in just a second. Before we do, the second match for your DVD, please, sir. So we've had Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio, the great double turn of 2016 from Payback. What's your second one?
By the way, I'll be putting Dolph Ziggler in because I think all I do nowadays is slate Ziggler. And I know Ziggler has mentioned Botchamania on WWE TV twice.
He has indeed.
So to point out to you know the youngins watch this, no, I won't. One point, Ziggler was the best thing
yep.
in WWE.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That aside, what was your one?
What was
because
your
Ross put him in. Putting in the exact same match you're going to put in now. I'm going to have to put it in now. Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka.
I really hope that this is a recurring theme because the plan is in 2020, over several months, we will get around to everybody in the office. So everybody will come and do a Desert Island Grab. So I hope everybody suggests Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka. Same one? One night stand?
No, I'll be different.
Okay, that's okay.
Because the first ECW tape I ever bought was November to Remember 99. Not a good show. By any means, but it introduced me to, first of all, AC/DC, because my dad was walking past, and Spike Dudley comes out, like, in the opening riff to Highway to Hell comes on. My dad goes, that's AC/DC. And I probably, as a kid, went, no, it's ECW, Dad. No, son, AC/DC is a band. And I went, is it? He goes, yes, here's live. Live? Yes, it's a live album. aren't all albums live at some... Shut up, son. Listen, AC/DC. And I went, oh, this is good. And AC/DC were the first rock band I got into. I was like, really got into them heavy. Loved them for years.
What were you listening to before that?
Sod all.
No, just when...
Before that, my last album was Will Smith, Big Willie Style.
Boom. That's it. There's a banger after banger on that particular album.
Yes, but it didn't bang half as good as live at, I think it's Donington. Whatever, live somewhere in time by AC/DC.
Why that particular Tanaka awesome match?
Because like I said, it's the first time. The first time you see, and it really stood out, not their best match, but this one really stood out on a very middling show. Mm. Because by 99, ECW was going through problems that it couldn't recover from. And the fact that they got 2001 is very impressive. Oh, just don't pay the wrestlers. But that pay-per-view, Awesome versus Tanaka, they'd already done it a few times beforehand. Anarchy Rules 99 was when they both came back at the same time and started kicking. Oh, great, it was all good. And this one was just the spectacle of Mike Awesome being this huge blokey, huge mullet, awesome on his ass, just treating Masato Tanaka like a crash test dummy. And Tanaka, like, getting up going, and like, he should be dead. It's the first time he does the powerbomb off the apron. And he doesn't just, like, give him the powerbomb and drop him. He, like, turns as he does it. And he, like, he's wrestling a bag of sugar. I don't know why that's a comparison.
Just effortless energy.
Yeah, I'm just like, Awesome. Jesus. They're the only ones that put in a lot of effort on that show. God bless them. And it's just like, I must have watched that match, rewound it, played it, and watched every one of those spots 1,000 times because I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they had roughly the same match over and over again. But I mean, like AC/DC.
Yeah.
If it's a great album, just re-release it.
It's, yeah.
Don't change it. Don't add anything. Don't remix it. Don't add a rap. Don't add anything. Just do the exact same thing again.
Where'd you get the video from?
Virgin Megastore.
Yeah. Were you buying a lot of wrestling videos at this time?
Yeah.
Because the wrestling video thing is a fascinating one because, like, we live in a very charmed era where nowadays, like, everything is available immediately whenever you want it, however you want it. But yeah. How often would you say you were buying wrestling videos? I presume, what year was this? It was Virgin Megastore, we're talking late 90s? Early 90s?
No, it would have been 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often were you buying wrestling videos?
Whenever I got enough pocket money.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to get the 15-rated stuff, but not the 18-rated stuff.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny. my family, both sides of my family, were really said, you can't watch 18-rated stuff. That's too violent for you. I'm like, wow. And that, like, I wasn't allowed to watch anything. So I had to, like, blag, you know, to school, and people like, oh, did you see Scarface last night? Oh, yeah, yeah. What was your favorite bit? Yeah, yeah, mine too, you know, all this stuff. And so what a disappointment it was, the first 18-rated thing I watched, Hellraiser 3.
Oh, mate. That's
I couldn't
shame.
Believe it. I watched it and went, this? Return to Oz was scarier than this. That's an effing PG.
Your parents let you watch 15 stuff, but not 18 stuff. Yeah. Right. So they weren't, not prudish, but they weren't prudish. Just kind of the way they were.
Well, they said, look, you emulate the wrestling that's on TV. I went, what? Because there's, you know, no. We'd, like, me and my brother would do the Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn, Tornado DDT. He's going up, Northern Light Suplex. No, he's not DDT thing. Yeah, onto a couch bed. So it's a soft landing. We'll do it on concrete. So I was like, oh, if you do that, then you'll definitely take a load of cocaine and shoot people. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. So they're exactly the same. You're easily... easily led, Matthew. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks.
Easily? What?
I don't know where that came from. But
I was going to say, why do your parents believe you're easily led?
Brooks wasn't a very smart child.
Were you not?
Well,
strike me as somebody that was quite intelligent as a child.
I was one of those kids that, because you did well at school and listened to teachers, whatever, thought, oh, I must be smart. No, I was just good at school. Oh. In terms of intelligence, it's very varied things I've found out. And I think I had this... Only recently I've looked, you know, you self-reflect and all this, and I thought, like, lads and bish, and what I went up to were two different things. So I would be, like, watching 2001 A Space Odyssey, reading the Iliad and all this, whereas me mates are like, do you come stiff some glue and throw rocks at cars? I'm like, oh. So I guess you get that, like, oh, I must be up here. And it's like, as I found out more about myself, no, I'm not particularly smart. I'm open-minded, I guess, or cultured. Cultured sounds so pretentious, I'm sorry, but
no.
It's just doing stuff you'd see, you know, in skins or whatever. What's the show about?
I was going to ask how you found yourself in a situation where, as you say, your friends were, quote, sniffing glue and chucking rocks at cars.
Some of my best friends.
Some of your, those were the best people in Bish. But you were reading the Iliad. Like,
always read. Oh, I mean, I've stopped now. But I think I got used to because it was a lot, you know, pre-smartphones, VHS is what, like 15 quid a pop, maybe if you're lucky. So, yeah, it was like, okay, I'll read a book instead. Libraries, they're free. So, yeah, and so I always do that. And I think that just... You know, I was just going off on a tangent that was going nowhere.
No, you weren't.
Swore there, sorry.
No, you weren't. It's fine. But,
sorry, often I get half a point and go, I'll just make up the rest. No, I won't.
Why do you feel that you get to half a point and then stop? Do you feel like, do you get concerned that maybe you're talking too much? Because yes. I sometimes get that.
Yeah, I'm practicing the art of only trying to talk if I've got something to say. So if I realise, oh, no, I'm just talking crap here. I'm like, all right, I'll just end it like that, like that break. You know, that's it. Next. So
it was more, it wasn't so much that you were, like, book smart. It was more just a hunger for information.
Yeah, I just liked it and didn't stop. I never read a book and went, this is the worst book I've ever read, and I'm never reading another one. It was just like, okay, I'll read a better one next time. It's funny that. But, have you read this Titus Andronicus? Ah, the worst bloody... But, yeah. And I think it's also because it's obvious to some and it's not obvious to others, and I haven't got it ever checked, but... And this happened only a few years ago. One of my mates... But a long story short, bumped them over mates and saw it in my house, and I lent them some stuff, and then they left and he went so loud that I could hear it. So is Matthew on the spectrum? And I laughed it off, and then I went, I probably am, aren't I? And then it was one of these weird things where I asked people, everyone was like, yeah, we thought you knew. I'm like, oh my God, am I that on the spectrum? I'm the last person to realise.
Oh gosh,
I never did a test. But what I did, not like a proper one, but I did an online one. Mm. And that, give me flashbacks now. It was like question one, and it was like, do you enjoy making lists? And I went, oh no, it's true.
The moment you saw that. I was going to ask what your reaction was, but obviously you see your reaction was...
My family was split because half the family was like, no, you're a normal guy with some odd tendencies. You're not like socially or, well, socially awkward in a weird way where I'm fine talking with people, love meeting people, talk like that. I've got no issues with that. But then some people say, that's the weird bit. Sometimes you should have issues talking with people. Then the rest of the family's like, yes, and we still love you for what you are. I'm like, oh, this is only 20s.
But that's weird. It's that almost immediate reaction from loved ones to go, but we always love you. It's like, well, I was hoping that was never in doubt.
Yeah, like, that doesn't help,
why
does it?
Why would that? Oh, but we still love you. So we'll rightly,
all your
rightly,
tendencies.
Rightly so. I haven't robbed a bank. You know, it's a weird. I think it's there's always been a stigma attached to it, and I feel like we live in an era now where things such as you say, like being on the spectrum in a way, and mental health in general as well. I feel like we're in an era where it's more understood and it's more. More accepted than it's ever been. It's less a case of it's an issue. It's more a case of, okay, that's just the thing. In the same way that you choose to wear a green jacket that day, it just happens that your brain is wired to think this way. Mm. Like, that's the end of the thought process, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, because very well said. But I like to think as well, if I am, I'm at least a high-end, whatever you say it.
High functioning?
Yeah, there we go. So high functioning, I've got how to say it. But, and again, 20 years or so, I may not have been able to milk a cow, but in today's society, oh, the guy that puts wrestling clips with video game music, perfect, mate. You couldn't have had this particular set of skills with a particular mindset at a better time. Well done, you.
I think, if you don't mind me saying this...
No, Tommy, you can say anything to me. You can't offend me.
If you don't mind me saying this, I remember that we had a conversation. It was one day we went out for a drink after work. Mm-hmm. And I think you said, oh, I'm going to stay for one. I said, okay, that's cool. Let's have one. And because I was waiting for my day to finish work.
I see if I remember this.
And I said, I'm going to stay. Would you like another one? And you thought about it for a bit. I said, look, you don't have to if you don't want to. And then you even said to me, you said, no, the thing is, right, if I don't want to stay, I will tell you I don't want to stay and I will go. And that's... It's actually incredibly refreshing to think like that, because the amount of times, and especially with the holiday season underway, where you will be inundated with family guests and friends and such, who will do that dance of sort of standing around going, okay, I think we're probably going to go to bed now. Like that. Whereas to have the mindset like where you go, okay, I don't want to be here anymore, so I'm going to go, and I'm not going to fret on how that appears. It's pretty incredible, actually.
Thank you.
And it's I'm almost envious in a way, because I'd like to be able to have that ability just to kind of go, right, I don't want to be here now, so I'm going by.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be in a nice way like that, but there's tons of people, hey, come here. Peer pressure has never worked on me.
No.
It's never been, do this. No.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. No, please. Not, well, I won't be your mate anymore. Bye.
it's true. Yeah, it's true. But you seem like, from that sort of shock moment when you had a chat about it to now, you feel like you're at peace with it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Like, it's, again, you know, the stigma attached to it. I'm like, yeah. And people have talked to me and gone, okay, is he... What's up with this guy? And I've said that, be like, oh, right, you know. Like, sometimes it works really well. I will gel with people and I can tell, like, oh, I'm getting along really well. Sometimes I'll talk to people and go, this isn't working, is it?
Yeah.
Like, next, you know, it's
incredible.
It's fine. I don't expect
you consider
to
speed
be like
dating.
You talk to someone, if we've got anything in common, we've got sod all in common. That's fine. You prefer Awesome Tanaka from One Night Stand. I'm the very remember guy. That's fine.
But with regards to, like, you know, you talk about, like, I read Space Odyssey, you know, I watched Space Odyssey, I read the Iliad. And then how does wrestling sort of fall into that? It seems like how, like, what made you fall in love with wrestling? Obviously, the books that your mum bought you. Was it really Doink the Clown? Please tell
because
me it was Doink the Clown.
It was in the annual, and it wasn't just Doink the Clown. It was the fact that he had Dink the Clown.
Wow.
Because the colours on that thing. The colours. Purple and yellow for Men on a Mission. The black and white thing that whatever cowboy thing Macho Man was doing at the point. I've no idea what that's still called this day. That kind of be had. Doink and Dink.
Was the colours and the characters are what drew you into wrestling, and then you stayed for everything else.
Matthew,
that's amazing.
Matthew, do you think a spoke just helped you? Dink the Clown!
That's amazing, mate.
Yeah, there'd be no clown, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Think about that.
Isn't that weird?
And I got to see Dink the Clown, spring break.
Really? Did you tell him how significant
he was?
Oh,
no, I didn't go near him because his makeup was coming off, and he looked like... You've ever seen those old Jim Henson things? I've been locked away in a fire warehouse for the 80s. There's some on eBay and it's skin.
That's,
like, at the end of Invaders of the Lost Ark. Oh, God. No, I did not go up to Dink.
Do you regret that?
No.
I think you should have done.
Because he was in the Spring Break Battle Royal. Yeah. He's booked, did his spot. And then just left, and the announcer had to go, Dink's been eliminated. He just
He just got bored and just quit the match. That's amazing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestling's at its best, but it is inherently nonsense.
Right. Yeah. Why did we go from these pretentious films, oh, I watch smart things, therefore I'm smart, to wrestling? Because of great storytelling.
Hmm?
I mean, maybe not at that point, 93, 94, but I only started watching it regularly in 99 when we got the NatWest box. A bit like Sky, but if you're poor.
I don't remember the NatWest.
Oh, NatWest, you idiot. TeleWest.
I was going to say, NatWest is a bank.
Yeah, bank gave us some.
The TeleWest box.
Your son looks like he's a big.
The TeleWest box.
You're so much Gladiator movies. And
TeleWest box, I do remember.
Yes, thank you. TeleWest. What did TeleWest become?
BT Cellnet? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
TeleWest became. I'll put us in the comments.
Whatever. No one cares.
Whatever
sorry.
Became, whatever
this is me
became.
Going off on one of my things.
No.
And so we got a bit of Sky, and it was around 99. And funny enough, it's the time I'm revisiting with you, but that's when it was. Oh, I forget who it was. Maybe it was Brandon Stroud. But don't quote me. He described 99 product as went from the Do If Attitude, crazy boobs and suck it, to 99, which was glow, but with men, essentially. Because when they said the male soap opera, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Every week you'd be like, remember this thing and this little universe? And D'Lo Brown was with Mark Henry, then Mark Henry's on D'Lo. And then it was great. It was great. It was such good stuff.
One of our projects at the moment that myself and you are working on, among other things that we work on, is the SmackDown review, where we're going back to that time in 1999.
That's
where
it right. Is that's what
just
I was referencing.
Smash and grab, over the top storytelling, like endless storytelling nonsense.
Yeah.
And it is an exciting time as a wrestling fan to watch that again. Yeah. It really is.
And those two worlds combining, by the way, with like Werner Herzog saying. Nothing but positive things about wrestling at the minute. Well, he says WrestleMania, and I don't know if he means he watches one event per year. And who can blame him?
Mate, he's up every year for Mania. He loves it when they bring out singers.
When they bring out
rappers to do the songs.
I love the match the most when the bear eats the wrestler. But, I mean, I love Werner Herzog films, by the way.
Good. Why? Favorite Werner Herzog film?
Anything with Kinski. I'm going to say Aguirre, Wrath of God. Just because of the end bit where he's completely delusional. There's no one else left, but he's on this raft and goes, then we will take Rome, then we'll invade. And he's literally just talking to bananas. And these little animals are crawling on there going, we'll do it, yes. And everyone's dead. Because Kinski was so amazing. God, no one's going to care about that.
We might touch on that in a bit when we get to what movie you're taking.
Oh, goody.
Where did Botchamania start? It's gear change.
Yeah.
Take us back to the beginning of Botchamania. A lot of people who watch this will know that work that you do.
Yeah.
It's, where did it start?
They might not at this point. They're like, where's Puppet Jack, for the love of God? I said for years it was 07. It may have been late 06, because I got my laptop late 06. But I can't remember how long it took me to make it, because I literally discovered how to video edit doing Botchamania. It only got good the last 3 years.
So you had no prior video editing skills?
No, not even at school.
So, wait,
we had iMovie, but I wasn't going to do on that. So,
what made you want to cover the wrestling the way you do with no knowledge of how to implement it?
Sod it, let's see what happens.
Really?
Yeah. People may not know, YouTube of 06 was a lot different than one of 07.
Hmm.
It wasn't like I did this video, oh, success. It's like, no. There was sod all people watching these. Because there had been, I inherited Botchamania basically from John Barber, who made him and his John Barber, who was the Chikara referee, much of he still is. Him and his mate, apparently, according to him, no one else can back it up but him, and he's whatever, did the first two. And then Joey Knight Heat from the WrestleCrap forums did the third one. And I thought, oh, can I go? Is it my turn? And made Botchamania 4. People said, this is good. This is better than Joy Night Heats, because the Botchamania 3 sucked. That's the thing. The first two were great. Botchamania 3 was awful. Horribly edited. He tried to put his own slant on it. His Werner Herzog auteur theory on it. And it sucked. So I went, sod it. I'll make Botchamania 4 because it was so bad. And I think I can do better. I can literally learn how to video edit and do this better than him.
And it was like two comments. That was good. You should do another. And I go, all right. There's a fifth one, sixth one.
Just and nobody stepped in and went, I want to have a go at that.
No, if I had known I'd still be doing this years later, I probably would have changed the name. Mistake Fest.
It's become part of the lexicon. Do you know the origin of why it's called Botchamania or not? I don't know whether you do.
Well, everyone had a mania on then. It's a Hulkamania, Beatlemania. Yeah.
It's just the word botch is now a botch. The word botch is so associated with wrestling. And it's because of the videos.
I think people use the term botch pre that.
Yeah, so. I mean,
they certainly use it now. Yeah,
but in terms of where I hear it in sort of modern day lexicon, it is really associated with wrestling. And so you picked it up from form, and you were working as well at the same time. You had a job at this point, and it was just this was just a passion project.
Yeah,
that you plugged away at.
Yeah, did it during uni. During I had. 2.5 jobs at any time. Work at the library and the Asian Elders Institute, and then work in the audience cinema, and then work as a caretaker, and then come home, do some rest after doing some fabulous uni stuff. It's a complete waste of time and the benefit of hindsight, but that's the fun of hindsight, isn't it?
Was there a point where you realised this is catching fire?
Monster Mac, who was wrestling for then? I can't remember who was wrestling, but it was Ring of Honor, the place, CZW, sent me a message saying, oh, I love the videos. And I was like, it's the Monster Mac? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I think he was very flattered by that, because I had a chance to speak to him on Skype and all this. We'll do this, like, Skype interview thing, and it was recorded horribly, bless him. But we had a nice conversation, all this, and he was just like, oh, like the Monster Mac, as if there was a guy impersonating me. It's like, wow, wrestlers watch this. Because I didn't even think, sounds really dumb now, but I just thought the two completely equal. This is reality. This is internet land. I switch off the laptop. That's it. This isn't real life. This is just stupid internet stuff. And to a degree, I still have that, because if you're faceless, it doesn't matter. Well, it'll be like 3 weeks before someone reacts to something you've done in the real world. But that just kept on building up and building up. And it was when I did MAGFest. Oh, yeah, remember this now. I went to MAGFest just because of the bands that were playing, because some of them are featured in the videos.
So were you invited Cannon. To go?
No, first time I went.
As a patron?
Yeah. And just like, oh, have a nice time here. Met some friends and all this. Sorted out a situation where underage lad drank so much he fell down and broke somebody's leg, and I had to talk to the policeman with my fine British accent at 3 a.m. It was all sorted out. It was very nice. And so like, oh, you should come back next year. We'll have you over for this. I was like, oh, okay, great. And then I went, oh, that was nice, being at MAGFest, and just posted on the YouTube comment section. And people were replying, going, you're at MAGFest? You should have said something. I was, oh, sorry, I didn't realize people would like know me. And ended up being a long story thing with Spoonie one and Sean Faust. And footage of that is in the documentary about Spoonie that has over 1 million hits. So I'm technically in a video about Spoonie for about 3 seconds. That has over 1 million hits on YouTube, that for like 3 seconds. And it's me with my hair, and I look like the guy from Placebo. I'm glad it's not. Fast forward that bit.
Anyway. It sounds like a strong look.
Yeah. And then he's just gradually there. And then Spoonie ended up never coming back to MAGFest for reasons he blamed on MAGFest, even though there was piles of women waiting to do whatever he wanted. And he was like, I don't like MAGFest. I'm like, mate.
Wow.
And then people there liked what I said, because I was articulate and, you know, could remember the wrestlers' names just better than him. And so because of that, they were like, you should come next year and this year and this and this. And it was like, I was like, oh, I didn't realize people watch these in real life. And people like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I don't see this. I do my life, and this is the Botchamania thing. There are two separate things as far as I was concerned.
There was no pressure for you to make it anything. I think nowadays we see a lot of people, and I have conversations with a lot of people who say, I want to get on and do, and you must get this as well, like, I want to be a YouTuber, I want to be internet famous and stuff. And it puts all that pressure on them to become that almost immediately, whereas with you, it was just something you were doing as a hobby, as a passion project, that, as you say, you did, and then you cracked on with your life, and you had a job that paid the bills and everything else. And because you just did it consistently like that, and there wasn't that pressure for it to be anything more than a hobby, a passion project, it ended up becoming more. And your personality shines through in all of them, which I think is very, which is difficult to do when you're not on it. But it's like, I think before anybody meets you, like, they've got a measure of what you're about based on the videos you put together. How do you push through on those days when you're doing it? And we all go there, like, where you just, you're not inclined to do it. Because like, there's so much wrestling now that it has almost become full-time to keep it up. How do you get through on those days where you're just like, do I want to do anything other than watch people fall over in wrestling?
I've had a bunch of messages from people over the years that have basically been... Botchamania has been one of the few things that has got me through this very troubling time. I'm like, oh, wow, this is really important. I'm not saying it's really important to a lot of people by any means. That's a ridiculous thing to say. But to a few people, this really is something that helps them through bad times. And I'm like, okay, that's what I remember. I mean, it's... I'm not getting into it too much, but there's been some ones where... See, now I'm stopping my conversation now because it gets grim. But there we go. I'll let you paint the picture. I'm not trying to, whatever. I try to use them to go, aren't I a great guy? Because it's not. I'm not doing it to impress people and go, look what a nice guy I am by showing some guy mess a move and land on his ass. Ha, ha, ha. Da-da-da-da-da-da. No, I'm saying I care less about those people thinking I sound like an asshole saying that. I'm more about those people who took the time out to send me messages like that. And I'm like, okay, me not being asked to watch Raw, give it my undivided attention. It's like, yeah, but this person over here will appreciate, you know, Ricochet or Moonsault or whatever.
You're allowed to take pride in what you do. I often feel like it's almost discouraged. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's that weird dynamic where I can say you're good, Tom. But if you went, yeah, I am good, I'd be like, arsehole. It is weird, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there is a fine line.
Yeah. And it's like, you can say, I mean, I'm very flattered by the things you're saying. And I would like, even if, I mean, I'd like everybody here. Isn't it weird, by the way, how Cultaholic has this lovely bunch of people working here? None of the people here are dickheads.
Yeah.
What a weird working environment.
It is a peculiar working environment because we all get on with each other and we all work together for a common goal. In a lot of businesses I've worked in, and even recently, that is quite uncommon.
Right.
The idea that there isn't anybody trying to undercut another person, nobody trying to steal anything from anybody, nobody feeling bullied or upset or whatever. And I'm sure if ever a situation like that arose, it would be dealt with forthwith.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is peculiar, isn't it? It is very peculiar. It's funny that you mentioned that because I feel like I need to talk while we're here about our first interaction.
Oh, no. Okay.
I feel like...
No, yeah, you're right. Go ahead.
I feel like we need to because it's... If anybody imagine how myself and Matthew first came to talk to each other, it is a billion miles away from whatever you could possibly imagine it to be. And I know this is your interview, but I want to lead
this part of the story.
I feel like it's...
Go right ahead, Tom. Only you can tell this well.
So it was... It was an NXT show, and I want to say...
Was it NXT or was it the arena?
It was NXT at Newcastle Arena.
So it was NXT. All right, cool.
It was NXT Newcastle Arena, and I want to say it was 2017?
Could have been 16. NXT. 2015 was when 15. NXT ran. It was the same year as the NXT London takeover.
It was the night... The main event of that night was Sami Zayn versus Neville.
Yeah.
And it was the return of Sami Zayn, first match back since he's been injured.
Okay.
And... I knew about you for years. Like myself and my younger brother, we spent one holiday just like watching hundreds of episodes of Botchamania. I seem to remember we were in Florida, like the most magical place in the world. We were in Orlando, and we had a house with a pool area, but we sat in the front room and watched Botchamania. Because we were just drawn into it. This is years before this happened. So I found you on Twitter, and I think I tweeted you a couple of times, but you know, by that point you were magma, almost, to quote OSW review. You got magma. And there's one occasion for NXT, and you tweeted that you were going. So, you know, shoot my shot. I tweeted you and said, hey, I'll be there too. Love to buy you a pint. And I think you tweeted back to say, you tweeted something back that you didn't say yes and you didn't say no. Because I certainly took it as he hasn't said yes and he hasn't said no. So I remember buying a pint at, and it's, this is on me. This is all on me. I bought a
pint. It's on both of us.
Nah, mate, it's completely on me. I'd at the, at the interval, I bought a pint. I bought two pints. I bought a drink from my missus and I bought a pint. And I bought another pint. And I took a photo of the pint and I sent it to you. And then I heard nothing from you. And I got a bit drunk. And I got a bit pissed off. Because I felt like, and I'm embarrassed, I felt like, oh, you just snubbed me. Because I didn't know you from Adam. I felt like you'd snubbed me. And I think somebody had messaged on my, somebody put something on my Facebook about how, like, oh, Matthew was there. And I just went off, drunk and angry. Like, yeah, I bought him a drink, didn't bother, whatever, not bothered anyway. It was...
I saw that.
Yeah, you did. The next day, when I'd sobered up, I think I'd woke up and there were messages from you. And there were tweets from you. And I realised what an arsehole I actually was. And I think I messaged you privately. And I think the last conversation I think we had, I think you even very, very, very magnanimously said, I'm glad that we could sort this out like gentlemen.
Yeah, I meant that as well.
I remember you saying that. And I remember, and it kind of, weirdly that day made me realise I actually need to be a better person than I currently am. Weirdly.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't a I've never been a terrible person, but I was aware that like stuff like that was bad. That was bad form, and you should never speak to people like that. And I get now very, I get like you did. I get very upset when people come at me the way that I came at you.
Yeah.
Because I had ideas of, I wanted to succeed in an industry. I wanted some recognition for something, but you were already doing your thing. And I was bang out of order. And I have, although I have on many occasions apologized, I will spend the rest of our lives
please
apologizing
don't.
On the odd occasion for my behavior during that moment.
I can fully understand where you're coming from with this, but please, how long have we worked together?
Far too long.
Like, come on.
We're sat here.
Yeah,
now.
You know what? This is the time. Yes, Tom, I've never forgiven you. Now's the time. What a perfect place. Yeah.
Here we go. But it's. But
how dare you not put Tanaka and Awesome in your desert, Alan Grid? I knew you were wrong. And but to give my side of the story was Tom said, hey, hi, who, hey, you know, he's been Radio Tom. And I was, again, I was being talk about people. So he said, let me buy you a drink. And I think I said, no, you're all right. And he went, I'll buy you one. And he went, pop me one. Which at the arena is, we're talking double figures. So, oh my God, no wonder he's mad. And at that time, and I'm like, well, no. Trying to say, no, I've said no. But by the way, I've realized since, it doesn't matter if you're in the Northeast or anywhere else in the England. If someone says, I'll buy you a drink, what do you want to drink? It's not a rhetorical question. You have to accept it. Mm. Other people have gotten quite aggressive. Like, I'll buy you a drink. No. I'm buying you a drink. Okay,
yeah,
right.
It's very, yeah. Get so very aggressive about buying drinks.
Absolutely. People. And as you were doing that, some people are like, hey, Matthew, oh, how you doing, chaps? And then we heard the noise of the thing, like, now take your places. It was like, we went, took our places to see the show. And I didn't even see you. And you were taking a photo, and I couldn't get good signal. This is, you know, my cracked phone now is an example of the type of technology I have. But before this, it was not a good phone. It was about yay big. It's like a free gift you get with sugar puffs, and I couldn't get good signal. So it was maybe an hour later, like, your tweets loaded up, and it was like, here's your pint. I'm like, well, that's probably gone. And then, like, the message, Matthew did this, Matthew did that. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I said no. Like, again, me being whatever. Like, Your Honor, I think you're fine. He said, you want a drink? And I said no. And it was like, I'm like, who's this radio guy? I'm like, oh, it's actually quite well known and people knew who you were. I'm like, oh, well, can we get this resolved nicely? And we did, that's fine. And it was funny later on, you'd be like, oh, it's that, what's his name? Who's going to be doing the commentary? Tom,
where do I know that name from? But, oh, that guy with the booze at the arena. Yeah. But how funny is that? We've worked together for so many different things. We and hung around and done so much stuff. Our worst thing that we've had, issue-wise, whatever, was the first time we ever met.
Can I be honest?
How great is that?
Can I be honest with you?
Go on.
We do commentary for North Wrestling, and we used to meet
you are
up.
Honest,
and
yes.
We used to meet up and record. We record it in post-production for North Wrestling. So, and it was Andrew Bowers, who runs North, that told us that we'd be working together. And I think we'd had a few, so very tentative, toe-in-the-water conversations between then and North. There was a couple of years.
Have we not met up before? No, because you'd done ring announcing at places.
We had, yeah.
That's how we'd met.
That was it. I remember. Okay. It was Absolute Wrestling.
Yeah, that's it, Absolute.
It was Absolute Wrestling.
Press F.
I was, this is all coming right back. It was Absolute Wrestling. And I've been asked to ring announce. It was the NE6 suite.
Yep.
And you were there doing
commentary. I love that getting a mention on this, by the way.
I know, right? Big love to NE6 suite. You were there to do commentary with Matt Stallion.
That's it. Legend.
I was on the opposite side of the venue to you, and I saw you come in. And I genuinely felt sick because I hadn't seen you since then. I genuinely felt sick. And I took myself away. I was chatting to, might be Neil Rogers. I took myself away. Big love, Neil. Big love, Neil, from WrestleCrate and other things.
Keeping it local.
Calling spots. I took myself away and I thought, right, I can't, like, I'm literally about to work in amongst these people. And I saw you doing the absolute right thing and you were doing the rounds and you were shaking everybody's hands. I saw you doing that. And I said, look, I can't hide. I'm just going to approach you or sort of be near as you come round, and I'm just going to meet this head on because I'd rather just have apologized face to face and enjoy the night and just get away with as few scorch marks as possible as opposed to spending all night sort of hiding away, because that did cross my mind. Not that you were going to hit me or anything. I just felt it wasn't like you were. You're not a threatening, imposing figure. Not at all. I just felt so cripplingly embarrassed at myself and so humiliated in myself for the way I. And this is why I always say to people, like, just mind your P's and Q's when you talk to people online, because you're going to find yourself in a situation like I found myself in when somebody's coming at you with absolutely no ill will and you just feel so cripplingly sick because you know what you've done. And came up to you, I shook your hand, and I think I said, I'm Tom, and I said, we have kind of met before, and I explained the situation, and you even went, oh, yes! Like, you knew, and I just remember grovelingly apologizing. I said, look, it was out of order, and I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. And then you put your hand out again, and I think I went for broke, and I just went, can we hug it out?
Yeah.
And then we had a big hug. And then from there, off to the races we went. And, but I remember that night. I remember being really frightened that you were there. No. And not again, nothing that you've done at all. Nothing that you've done. More for my own hubris and my own bad housery.
Yeah.
You know?
We've all had a point of the situation when we'll go, I made a mistake. There's no one to blame but me.
Exactly.
I have to take ownership of this and just have to take a big bite of poo pie.
You got to fall on your sword, which I did that
Your expression was much nicer than mine.
Fall on your poo pie.
But again, there's no issues with me and you.
No.
No. And this is funny to me now. I mean, obviously, it sounds pretty quite horrible. But it's funny that, like, ha, 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 like, we get along so well. We do such good work. You've brought me up to, I mean, not your level, but you're helping me, absolutely.
I had a therapy session a while back, and they said to me, they asked me to name some of my closest friends, and I named you.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. Exactly. I just off the top of my head, one of the people I named was you. So that shows you how far we've come since that initial interaction.
I hope that was the only time I came up in therapy.
Nah.
That was supposed to
happen. That's twice now.
Jesus Christ. Comedy acting 101.
Hey, we're still on the island. Okay.
Oh, yeah, wrestling.
Yeah, we still got to talk about wrestling.
Stupid wrestling.
So Tanaka and Awesome. Right. Also on Cultaholic Island, let's bring this back up to lighter keel. You have to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Yeah.
So let's start with your movie.
It's probably even harder than the wrestling. Okay. With a gun to me heed.
We talked about Werner Herzog.
There's been a monkey revolution, and they've got a gun to me heed. Now I'm putting a Werner Herzog on. It's a film special to me that I've got to watch. Brooks has been such a weird, important part of my life for different reasons. GoldenEye.
Wow. Why GoldenEye?
Because it's a cracker. Min, love GoldenEye.
What is it about GoldenEye of all the Bond films?
I've said Herzog and Wallace. Yeah, I'm allowed to
No. This is it. Like Ross is taking Gold 1.
I know, I heard.
So it's like, it's not about the best film ever. Like, I'm expecting people to go, The Shawshank Redemption. But it's not about that. It's about those films that you're happy to watch over and over again if you're literally stuck on a desert island.
Yeah.
And it's,
I'll probably watch it over and over again.
Why GoldenEye above all the other Bond films?
Good question. Oh, I know. Because it was a very famous N64 game that came out alongside it that I played most of my childhood whatever. And played that with mates. Played that with my dad. I already played video games. That wasn't Champ Man. Played it with people. As an adult, played it. Talked about it. Watched it again with mates. Gone, wow, remember GoldenEye and all this. And yeah, it's one of the films that's been attached to my life somehow. And even better, I played the game. Then watch the film. So I was blown away. I remember, meet up in the park with all the statues, and he says the line that's in the game. I'm like,
it's almost like the movie is based on the game rather than the game based on the movie.
But I literally had everyone else in the world had seen it at this point. But I'm like, oh my God, that's the bit where you have to shoot him.
Do you play single or multiplayer on GoldenEye?
Well, both.
Okay. Best custom multiplayer game. Because this was the thing whereby you had custom multiplayer games that you played.
Oh, this is going to sound really pretentious, but because I was so good at the game compared to my brother, it would always be 2-on-1 handicap.
Nice.
My brother and his mate against me.
Do you ever play Protect the President?
No.
Okay, so one of you would be... Who's the short guy?
Odd Job.
One of you would be Odd Job.
I must say Jack.
Other two would be... I ain't protecting you. One of them would be Odd Job.
Sorry, Job.
You'd have two other people who'd be security guards, and then you'd have somebody else trying to be an assassin.
That's good.
Protect the president.
We played the ones that it gave us, Slappers Only or Man the Golden Gun.
Nintendo Power used to publish almost on the monthly, custom multiplayer games.
He was an N64 magazine type of guy, and there's none of that in there. None of that malarkey.
Album.
Faith No More, Angel Dust.
You knew that immediately.
As much as I love AC/DC and all the other bands I've listened to over the years, God, what an album. I mean, I listened to that album non-stop during my... Oh, which was it? Six, not my GCSEs. May levels. Mm-hmm. And at the same time I was doing those, very unhelpfully, the house had been refurbished and they were doing the loft conversion. So all of my room was covered in giant dust, whatever they call them, dust towels. The sheets.
Dust mites? No.
Just everything looked like Dexter, basically, at that point. Apart from my bed.
Right.
I was like, all right. And my little Sony Walkman. I was like, oh, one album. And I just got into that. And I only knew Faith No More from Epic. But that's the album before this, when they were a bit happy. This was an album they did. I believe they experimented with sleep deprivation. And they went to some strange dark places. It's bleak.
And you want that on a desert island with you?
Yeah, because that helped me. It's a bleak, horrible album, but I loved listening to that album during an awkward time, a very stressful time in my life. It was almost like, if it wasn't for you, Mike Patton and co, wouldn't have done so well at my A-levels, or kept saying. And so even though it's horrible and everything, just hearing the opening few notes have been like Cowboy, it's like, everything's all right.
It's a handy reminder that the world's okay.
I'll sometimes watch a comedy and be like, that was nice. But I'll see a truly miserable film and I'll feel top of the bill. Give me Gus Van Sant and I'm doing Leapfrogs.
Is that more so... isn't that more sort of Schadenfreude? I mean, you think about it. Your entire work is based on Schadenfreude.
Yes.
So that's probably why.
Maybe.
Because your day-to-day, like your online role is, here are wrestlers getting things wrong. Here are wrestlers having a tough time.
Yeah. I think it's because I think I have lots of schadenfreude there, and it's when stuff... Oh, I forget, was it W.C. Fields? It was somebody like that who had a quote. It was about comedians, and I don't consider myself a comedian, but I mean, I'm trying to entertain people at the end of the day. He said, to make a normal person laugh, you have to push someone, like a man dressed as an old woman, down the stairs. To make a comedian laugh, you have to push an old woman down the stairs. And it's just like that. And I guess when you're trying to entertain people and stuff like that, only stuff going horrifically wrong can really get a buzz out of people.
It's why things...
I think I'm broken slightly.
No. Do you know what? When you look online and you see the sheer amount of fail compilations and such like that, you know for a fact that you are in good company of people who enjoy watching people going wrong.
Right. And there are many times I felt incredibly guilty about stuff I've put in Botchamania, the existence of Botchamania, me as a person. And I've just told people, other people, they go and say, how dare you? I'm like, look, if I wasn't doing this, somebody else would. So at least I've got good taste in music.
Have you ever had a big fallout with somebody regarding you putting them into Botchamania?
No, they've blocked me on Twitter now.
Ah, oh, fair enough. That's easy enough.
Now, no one's really done it. I don't know why. I've been begging for somebody to take me to task because I've got no defense. You take our hard work and put them in your stupid videos and you get off on it, you get a buzz, people tell you good. Yeah. Guilty, Your Honor. What am I going to defend it against? There's nothing. So it's a little, I feel odd. It's no one's everyone's yeah, good job. I feel like that cannibal that ate that French woman and went back to Japan and didn't arrest him. He just became a celebrity.
But it's a bit of a badge of honor now, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
To be in Botchamania.
Because wrestlers are crazy.
Yeah, I think to feature in it is a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you haven't been
not all of them,
task.
But most of them. And people get really, I think when I go on podcasts and whatever, and they always go, well, who's got most annoyed? I'm I'm sure plenty of them are thrilled.
Yeah.
But the only one who do anything is Joe Gacy. And I almost feel bad bringing him up because he's improved. I would say he improved a lot, got really better, but he sucked
okay.
for a while. And he got overpushed because he was Sami Callihan's friend.
Right.
And Sami Callihan had, DJ Hyde's ear. It's true. And so I was like, oh, he's got... And I said the comment on one thing, and I've said a lot of things I regret, but this one obviously came back at me because he was out of shape back then. I said, he's only over as a heel when he doesn't wear a shirt. It's a nice line, isn't it,
It's a nice line. It's
incredibly mean-spirited.
But it's a nice line, without a doubt.
Yeah. And then he went on Twitter and was just like, I think he had the intentions of coming at me. I'm going to sort this guy out.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him on his place. However, all Joe Gacy gave me was setup lines. And he tweeted at me, how do you know what is and isn't a botch? I replied, by watching your matches.
Oh, God.
It was a really good night because Gacy had nothing. And I was suddenly, Don Rickles. It was like... Another CGW wrestler was like, can we get you booked for Cage of Death?
Oh, my God. You worked yourself into a shoot.
Yeah, right.
To quote Hulk Hogan.
But again, Gacy's gotten way better. He's the only guy I bring up because he personally likes to take me to Twitter. Matt Stryker says Vampiro was looking for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I found out he doesn't know what I look like because at StarCast 2, I was running around the green area. Completely out of place. There was Kenny McIntosh. I'm like, oh, I know him. And then walks in the entire AEW roster. I'm like, I definitely belong here right now. Kenny McIntosh is like, so business travel for the Q&A. I'm like, have you seen any good gifts lately? Oh, fucking idiot. But then Vampiro's walking around and I went, oh, great. Well, no one in the room is here pro me. There's Ricky Morton. Maybe I'll throw him in front of Vampiro and run. He clearly didn't know who
I was.
We
know for a fact that Vampiro...
thank God.
Vampiro won't come at you unless his music plays. So providing his music doesn't play, then you're fine.
No, but then he'll try to get up from his chair and fart, and I'll be paralysed with laughter. It'll just, whatever.
Okay. So Faith and Ball, your album, your luxury item.
A toilet?
You can indeed. Quite a
Get
few people
in.
Say toilets.
Oh, okay.
You'd be amazed the amount of people that are concerned with with that department. Like Colt Cabana, who's taking a B-day. James Storm, who's taking toilet paper. You're the second person
done,
to
James
take
Storm.
A toilet.
Well, you'd use a leaf, surely.
You'd use the sea.
Nature's bidet.
Nature's B-day. Okay.
You'd bring a bidet. Right.
We have one more match for your DVD as well. So, what would you like your final wrestling match to be?
I often get weird sometimes when people come up to me like, "Oh, Matthew, yeah," because I'm often like, "Oh Christ, what?" I'm thinking, "What do they want? What are they expecting? Like this amazing? Yes, it's me, King of Botches, or whatever." And it's like, and this is me, isn't it? So I was like, "Oh," so I honestly enjoy being in a wrestling crowd, enjoying a wrestling match better than I have doing like, "Yes, that's right." Big Botch Man is here. Like,
Big Botch Man.
So, undoubtedly, because there's not even any comparison, any second thing here, it's got to be being in VXV, WX Dub, Germany, 16 Carat, 2018. Every time they do these big 3-day events, they have a world title match that will heavily hype. And this was Bad Bones defending against Walter. And Walter had won a match at the last big show to start, decide the stipulation for it. So everyone's going, okay, what, last man standing, Iron Man, what we're going to get? Walter comes out, and Bad Bones has had a band play his theme, and then Walter's, you know, all this was like, oh, it's already, like, it's going to be good, this. Those two had really good matches. Walter goes, I pick the stipulation in German, triple threat. And I went, wait, what? Shut up, phone. Wait, what? And then everyone went for half a second, wait, that can only mean, but it can't be. Ilya Dragunov had feuded with Bad Bones and hadn't been seen for, I believe, 4 months. No other company in the world could get away with this, but if WXW wants something kept a secret, they'll keep it a secret. Ilya Dragunov, but he's retired, right? Literally not mentioned on TV. It can't be Ilya. And everyone's going, like, is it? His theme plays. And I've never been part of a crazier fan reaction than that. I was next to Mike Kilby, who I consider a nice friend at this point, crying with like the emotion of, not only is Ilya not retired, not only is he alive, he's in this match. His opponent, Walter's like, because Walter and Ilya had their series where they basically just see if they could, who could put their chest,
their palm through the chest.
See how far they could get their palm in someone's chest.
I knew you, man.
Thank you. And Bad Bones had beaten Ilya, and then it was like rock, paper, scissors. It came out, and God, real, genuine, oh my God, this is happening emotion. Hell of a match. And then Ilya won and went mental again.
Isn't wrestling incredible when it can do that?
And I love going to Germany for them. I love that the German fans are amazing. They're a lot like the British fans, or the UK and Irish fans, I should say. There's one key difference. The UK and Irish people will drink all night. The German people will drink all night. The UK and Irish people will sleep in. The German people get up at 7 a.m. as if nothing's happened. So, you know, much love to you all, but Jesus. I love going over there and having fun and getting to have that. And some wrestlers are very polite. Some of them are like, get away from me. I'm a Deutsch. And it's just, I love that place.
You booked tickets for 2020, I saw.
Yes.
Today.
Yes, thank you, Black Friday.
So how excited? So that shows how excited you are, the fact that you've already got that weekend blocked off.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I got to watch WWE as a cynic, as a critic. I've got one eye on the show, one eye on, ooh, can I make an ending for that? Watch the WXW was just like, wrestling. Okay, cheer the goodies, boo the baddies, and drink.
And that's really the joy of wrestling.
I've said this many times, you got to enjoy it when it's good and just laugh at it when it's bad. And God, I enjoy it when it's there. This has been endorsed by VXV. but no, really, I people do ask, how can you still do Botchamania and still like wrestling? Because it's really effing good in a lot of places. And that's one of the places it is.
That seems like a perfect place to...
God, I hate WWE for what they've done to Walter.
That's a different Volta.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's a different Volta. This is the final episode of Desert Island Graps for 2019. I can't think of a finer way to end it. This is like the first series I launched when I started at Cultaholic, and it feels nice that it's me and thee chatting to end it. This feels really nice. I've really enjoyed it.
Hopefully this has been better than the first one I did with Ross, where I had literally no sleep and was a mumbling, fumbling mess and did nothing to help the colleague people. And if I can get a chance to, because if you've listened this far, you must give half a toss. Thank you very much for being patient with me and letting me have a chance to get better, because I'm well aware of the negatives I had coming in. I'm well aware that I've hey, I am perceived like this. No, you can only have a small hand in how you're perceived, because everyone else is just filling the gaps. So now people know more about you, they'll love you, which I knew that was going to happen, but obviously you have to wait for that, the pennies to drop. And quite frankly, if you didn't enjoy this, this is as good as it gets. So don't watch anything else with me. I am not here to get myself over. I'm quite happy and content. If I can entertain you, by all means. Hopefully that was understood. And if not, I can't think of any clearer ways of saying it. So bollocks to you. Tom, I love you. Go buy me a pint that I'll not drink.
I love you too, mate. Thank you for being my friend.
Give me a hug.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.